Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greetings, listener dear. It's Matthew here from Pappy's, formerly Pappy's Fun Club, now Pappy's. It's been that way for a little while. I think we changed our name in 2009. So welcome to the podcast. This is House Meeting. It's a House Meeting recorded a little while ago. Now, what's going on at the moment, and the reason you're only hearing my voice, is that Tom and Ben are off on their summer jaunts, their summer constitutionals. Clarkie is all the way over in Australia. He's enjoying Australia with his, in fact, he's out on a holiday with his in-laws for a month. So yeah, pray for Clarkie. His in-laws, I've met them all. They're a wonderful bunch, but I think, you know, like they say, you can't choose your family, you can choose your friends, but you really can't choose your in-laws. Like, that's just the way it goes, isn't it? You suddenly find yourself in a situation where you've got this whole other family who are also your family. And I think I'd find it hard enough going on holiday with my own family for a month, let alone somebody else's parents. So, yeah, good luck to Clarkie, who's out in Australia for the rest of the month. We've recorded a bunch of house meetings. This is one of them. Parry is also off with his family. He's just been to the Fringe for a week, getting the shows that he's working on up and running. I'll mention them now because I'm sure he'd be appreciative of that. He's looking after Flo and Joan. He helped direct that show. Well, he directed that show, I should say, which is on at the Fringe. So they're brilliant. Two fantastic musical comedians. And he is also working on Kieran Dowd's show, the final in the trilogy, in the Don Rodolfo trilogy. So Kieran Dowd, if you've never seen him before, formerly a member of the sketch team Beasts, now a fantastic solo character performer. He's just great. He's, you know, you'll know him from the Christmas episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts a few moons ago. He was great on that. He's brilliant. Go and see him. Go and see Flo and Joan. If you're also looking for other great shows to see, I know Clarkie worked on Luke Kempner's show. He also worked on another show, and I can't remember the name of it now. Let's see if I can keep talking and at the same time look at Clarkie's Twitter. I had a small, tiny hand in Jess Robinson's show this year. Her show is called Legacy. Absolutely brilliant. She's just great. She's just a brilliant, brilliant performer. So if you get a chance to see her, if you're up at the Fringe, go and see her. And Clarkie would love you to see. God, Clarkie tweets a lot. Oh, yes, here we go. Colin Holt was one of them. Yeah, Colin Holt. Just great. So it's Luke Kempner, Colin Holt, and Christian Brighty. Those are all shows that you should go and see up at the Fringe. Enjoy all of those. Also, if you're not at the Fringe, if you're just in the London area, then go and see a show that I directed, Izzy Sutty's show Jackpot. She's doing a week at the Soho Theatre, 22nd to the 27th of August. And I think there are some tickets available for all shows, but not that many. So get a move on if you'd like to see Izzy Sutty. You know Izzy from Peep Show and so many other brilliant things. And also, of course, from appearing on Flatshare Slamdown and appearing on Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. And go and see her show. So there's loads of stuff to see. Right, let's get on with the business in hand. This is a house meeting. But before we get into the house meeting, the real meat of the pieces, I've got to talk to you about Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. Now, this is a conversation I'm having with you, the listener, before I even have it with Tom and Ben. But it's been playing on my mind. We've got to a situation here where the beefs have just dried up. And I'm going to be totally honest. I feel like it's really important to be transparent with your listener because, you know, you've been with us for a long time. We've been doing Beef Brothers Cold Cuts for a good few years now. And for some reason, like every time a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts rolls around, I have to get on Twitter, I have to get on the Patreon, I have to say, please, please send us stuff. And we get a handful, you know, we get four or five each time. So most of them make it onto the show, unless they are sort of really indecipherable. Most of them make it onto the show. I don't know why that is. I guess it's because we've kind of maintained our loyal fan base, and we've been asking them this question for years. And anyone who's had a beef with their neighbours and has wanted to get in touch kind of has. So what I'm doing is I'm appealing to those people who have, every time they hear an episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, they go, you know what? There is a problem with my flatmates. I do have some sort of lingering situation going on with my landlord. You know, I'm currently on holiday with my in-laws for a month. I've got a beef with them. Like, that's who I'm appealing to. The people who have never, ever responded. I'm going to give you the email right now. It's beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. However, if you want to get in touch with us through a Twitter DM, if you want to get in touch with us through the Patreon, you can also do that. Any way you get in touch with us would be great, because we, I don't know what it is. And I love doing Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, but we're sort of, you know, I feel like we're in a situation whereby I don't sort of know how it can continue. I was all, you know, the last episode, I was genuinely tempted just to go on Reddit and grab a bunch of them off Reddit, which, you know, arguably that's what we should have done in the first place, rather than put the pressure on you, the listener. But what I like about them coming from you is that they come from you. You know, it feels like, you know, anyone could just crib stuff off the internet. We have these, you know, we've got these brilliant listeners, of which you are one, who write these phenomenal emails. And when they do come, they're fantastic. It's just that they don't come frequently enough. I hope that's not too pathetic to beg for. But if you enjoy that podcast, and I really do, and I know we all do, we love having a chat with our guests. If you'd like it to continue, then please send us an email today. The other thing as well is, don't be put off by the fact that some of the messages are, you know, longer than the Bayeux Tapestry. Write us a 4-sentence message. You know, some of the messages we get from the live shows are just 3 or 4 sentences, and we can still spin funny out of them. And if anything, you know, the more you leave out, the more we get to sort of fill in the dots with our own ideas, and, you know, a conversation can happen. But yeah, just looking at the, I've just opened up while I was chatting to you, I've opened up the Beef Brothers Cold Cuts email address, and we've got two emails since I last checked it for the last episode. One of them is a confirmation from Augusta Gold. Don't even know what that is. Someone has signed us up to a web conference to discuss investing in precious metals in order to sort of steady the ship for our retirement. Maybe they know you know what? Maybe they know more than we do. Maybe they know more about this podcast. Learn how to hedge your IRA/401k with precious metals. Are you ready to diversify your retirement? Now, that to me feels like spam. Nothing we can do with that one. And the other one is a Podbeam performance email, which tells us how well our podcast is performing on Podbeam. Very well, thank you very much. But the stats, like Netflix, will never fully reveal. But it would be great to have more messages. So beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. If not, you're going to get a lot more episodes of House Meeting, which is also fine. But we love chatting to the guests. We love chatting to the guests. So this is a House Meeting, as I said. Let's get into it. I remember this being a very fun chat. I believe my favorite style genre gets referenced quite heavily. So let's get into it. This is a House Meeting, and I will speak to you on the other side of this. Enjoy it.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House Meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House Meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House Meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a House Meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House Meeting.
God. The tiny germ or something I was just thinking of. But
all right. You've got a tiny germ.
Gross. A tiny germ. I was wondering this the other day, in this hot weather, It's made me rethink. It's made me rethink
climate change.
Things.
Are you finally accepting? Are you finally accepting?
No. I'm not. Come on. I'm not mad.
For years now, I've been telling you about it.
Listen, it's just sunspots. Everyone, chill out. You wokies. But what I was wondering is, I don't know what I'm doing now when it comes to.
I don't think that's got anything to do with the hot weather. So sorry.
Yeah, I don't think you need to finish that sentence, Clarky.
I used to really have my shit together, and suddenly this hot weather. I don't know what.
Actually, that's not true either.
No.
You don't. Sorry, Clarky. We keep interrupting you. You don't know what you're doing now when it comes to
my clothes, particular trousers.
Oh my god.
It's a sad cry for help.
I'm off on holiday soon, and I feel like all of my trousers are wrong. I don't know how to fix it. I've been online googling summer trousers.
Are you asking, Clark, if you're old enough to wear linen trousers? The answer is you absolutely are.
Well, that's what I, you know, back in the day I had a pair of linen trousers.
What day was that?
Tuesday.
They melted off you in the heat wave.
They grafted onto me. I've got linen legs now.
When I think of linen trousers, I think of our friend Humphrey Carr, who for some reason when we were in Edinburgh, Humphrey Carr, like brilliant comedian, performer, was in the Penny Dreadfuls, and we were sort of occasionally for some reason like pitted against each other in Edinburgh as like the rival sketch teams. You know, you're either Pappies or the Penny Dreadfuls. So
I was Penny Dreadfuls personally.
I thought they were fantastic. I never missed a show, whereas I missed quite a lot of ours. And I remember 3 weeks or one of the sort of the newspapers up in newspapers is a strong term, one of the publications up in Edinburgh asked us to film a video where we played them at cricket.
Yeah, I remember.
Do you remember this? We had to play them
at
cricket.
Remember this.
And so Humphrey Carr had decided to dress in kind of like basically like as close to cricket whites as he had with him, which included linen trousers. And it rained, and they went entirely see-through. And he was going commando.
No.
Yeah. So I remember it was quite a
wow.
I mean, that's one way to win.
There was wickets everywhere I looked.
Yeah, I was stumped. But yeah, so when I think of linen trousers, I think that, you know, the tricky thing with linen trousers is, what do you do for underwear underneath them? Because, you know, you're either wearing underwear and very clearly wearing underwear under your linen trousers, or you're not wearing underwear and running the risk of a little bit of, you know, magic eye when it rains. If you relax your eyes, you can see my dick.
magic third eye. I do know where you're coming from here, Ben, because I recently had a holiday and it kind of brought about a sartorial identity crisis.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Of this kind is, of going, yes. What actually am I up to here? Yeah. What am I doing? In fact, any slightly formal. I had a meeting before Christmas in a restaurant, and the person who was going with me said, dress smart, but, you know, don't go mad. And I, for 2 weeks, was in this real panic about what to do with that.
Yeah, I'd struggle with that.
Smart is such a broad church, isn't it? For some people, and I'm thinking of the three of us, popping on a shirt is smart.
Yeah,
for other 100%. People, shirt is default. You know, yeah. then you move up to tie, cummerbund, cravat, bow tie.
Are you shirt and jeans, and are you tucking it in? And then what happens with the shoes? It's like anything like that goes on, and that's it. My head's gone.
Where are you putting those shoes?
Are you tucking the shoes in as well? Are you tucking the line?
Then I'm starting to sweat, and then suddenly I have to go to the toilet and run my wrists under the cold water tap to try and calm the sweat down.
Your trousers have gone opaque. You're sweating so much.
I'm sweating through my linen trousers.
What did you end up wearing? Just out of interest, what did you end up wearing as your miscellaneous smart?
A furry white jumper that's got quite a high neck. And it, the
high
neck,
white jumper.
The white neck slightly elevates it to smart, I'd say.
A furry white jumper neck would have been very far down my list of possibilities there.
I wouldn't recommend it for an Australian holiday.
They'll think you're a sheep. You'll fit right in. Could you...
God, give me a shear, mate. I'm sweating cold.
Can you help us out a little bit on furry white jumper?
I know the jumper he was talking about, and I do actually think it's a pretty smart jumper.
What do you mean? No, but what do you mean by furry? How do you mean by what material is it?
It's made out of polar bear.
I wonder I was sweating.
It's a pelt you got from David Attenborough.
Have you seen The Revenant? I killed a polar bear and crawled into a restaurant wearing it.
He ordered from inside the polar bear. Oh, wow.
So I went for like a smart jumper with jeans and trainers. Obviously not interesting anecdote, but like all I wanted to get to was that I panicked.
No, Tom,
with
Tom,
the idea
please,
of going
please,
smart.
Please back yourself. I'm genuinely interested.
I'll tell you the thing that really does it for me. The absolute curveball. Christenings. Christenings for me are like again, to keep on with the cricket analogy, weddings, you're up against kind of like a fast bowler, you know what you're dealing with, you know it's going to come straight, and you're going to go shirt and tie, you're going to, you know, an evening do, you'll probably drop the tie, but you know where you're
your forehead. Yeah, that's because it raised the tie.
Christenings, it is all over the shop how you turn up for a christening.
I've been saying it for years though, Tom. This is why I believe you should become a steampunk. Because the decision is made for you. It's always the top hat with the goggles on it. It doesn't matter what the occasion is.
It's true, actually. If you get yourself a very, very specific guys, then people don't expect anything different from you, and then you can relax.
Especially one that errs on the smart anyway, right? You know, I couldn't say become like a grunger or something, or an emo kid, because it's not necessarily always smart. But if you go steampunk, there's going to be a waistcoat. There might even be a fob watch. Might be a waistcoat, shirtless with a waistcoat.
There might be a gun made out of cogs. anything could happen.
It's the fashion wild, wild west. Wiki wild, wild west.
Basically, no one is going to approach you at a christening to say you could have smartened up if you've got a gun made of cogs.
Oh, I thought you were going to say no one's going to approach you at a christening and ask you to be a godparent.
I've said it once before, but it bears a repeat.
House meeting!
Funny you should say, actually, Tom. A friend of mine was saying the other day that he was invited to a christening and was expecting to go, you know, pretty much just in everyday attire, and just so happened to have a conversation with the people whose christening it was. And they were saying, oh, we went to a christening the other day and someone turned up in like jeans and trainers. Could you imagine?
Here you go.
And he was like, oh, that's what I was going to wear. Yeah. So he had to go full suit and was like, is that what he do?
I fucked it. And like, I've done it for like my nephew's christening. And I turned up with just trainers and stuff and had to borrow my dad's clothes on the morning because I was going to let the family down.
Who should he wear?
Trainers. He looked great. He was wearing jeans and trainers. All of Tom's yellow t-shirt.
Just like, there needs to be some kind of grading on the christenings.
Yeah.
Then we're into the other sort of slightly tricky issue, is that I don't care about church in the same way that my mum and dad care about. Well, my mum specifically cares about church. So that's why, you know, basically it's like trying to make sure that your mum doesn't get upset. That's what it is. You think, what can I wear that won't make, you know, when my mum sees me, she won't go, oh,
but,
God.
But also, you don't want to be that guy on the photo, on the family photos.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the teenager at a wedding who's come wearing his trainers.
We're already the alternative lifestyle guys. We're podcasters, you know? We're the podcasters of our families, you know?
We're the prodigal sons.
You know, our families aren't loaded with podcasts.
You can all imagine them leaning over, Spot the guy who does the podcast, by the way.
Exactly, exactly. It's that. But then also, you don't want to turn up suited and booted and someone go, oh, someone's podcast doing pretty well.
That's why what you want people to say is, well, I guess his podcast is about being a steampunk. That's what you're going to do.
Steam podcast.
Would a podcast fit into the steampunk code?
Oh, good question. Wow, what could you have to listen to a steampunk podcast on?
It'd have to be on like a fucking gramophone or something.
Yeah, it's like a gramophone attached to a kettle, basically. Or, That's what it needs to be.
Or like one of those, you know, one of those pipes that shoot tubes of messages through.
Yes.
You have to like fire off your missives in that and it'd come out of a fucking combine harvester or something.
By the way, if there are any steampunks listening, please don't be offended. We've got no idea what you are.
I mean, cards on the table.
We can't stress enough. We've got no idea.
Conks on the table. We haven't got a fucking clue.
and where did it begin? Like, who was the proto steampunk? Because
it's in Bard Kingdom Brewdale.
That might be the case. That really might be the case. It feels like it's a miracle that it took off.
Like those airships they love so much.
Crucially, Crosby, I don't want to go to a christening dressed as a steampunk, so yeah, please don't let that be the answer.
Okay, sure. Well, you know, all I can do is plant seeds here, you know? I think if I, in my life, when I'm on my deathbed, if I can look back and go, well, at least I made that one guy a steampunk, although it was life well lived.
And you're not, well, as long as you're not talking about yourself.
How did he die? He was crushed by the weight of his own goggles.
His automated steam deathbed.
I didn't know you're the Michael Winslow of steampunk.
I tell you what, actually.
That is my title.
I was just thinking the same thing, Tom, about Wallace and Gromit. It feels very steampunky.
Yeah. Is Wallace a steampunk?
Guys, are we a steampunk podcast now?
No. We've certainly talked about steampunk in the past on this. We've still not gone back and found out what it is yet, but yeah, I mean,
in Clarkian mind defence, it is you who always brings up steampunk, Crosby.
I'm obsessed with it. Eh?
I think you should give it a whirl. It might be something that's an itch you're waiting to scratch with a spanner.
Yeah.
You've got like, you know, you've got you've got the kind of facial hair that were you to apply the right amount of wax in the right places.
Thank you.
It launch you.
Well, I ate a baby bell earlier on. I haven't thrown the rest of it away. So what do I need to do? Make myself a big red nose.
Dangerous in this weather, having baby bell wax lying around, mate.
Well, can I tell you the reason we have so much baby bell in the house? This is genuinely true, and I don't know where this started, but if ever Cleo walks into anything, you know, like if she ever like bumps her head, she's always like, get a baby bell. I want a baby bell to be put on the bump. Because it's cold in the fridge, and I guess it's just, you know, it sort of makes perfect sense.
Oh, I like that. I'd like a baby bell.
Like a packet of peas.
Yeah, it's her version of a pack of frozen peas.
Of course, we'd need an adult bell.
Yeah, I get a full wheel of Edam. Plonk it on top
Clark
of my head.
Clark is dusting down his baby bell, adult bell joke that he tried on Twitter 6 months ago. Dusting it down for the old pod.
Clarky, are you doing gear here? Are you doing material?
I'm doing both material and gear, yeah.
Don't.
I always need to do gear after hearing Clarky's material.
Don't check my Twitter because it's wall to wall. Does it want to become a steampunk, guys? I've got you know, people do a bursary. You know, like people will do, like, you know, like there are sort of writers who will do a bursary so that every year someone can get paid to, you know, write on the news quiz or whatever, that kind of job. That is that's the bursary I'm setting up, that every year I will pay for somebody, a promising newcomer, to become a steampunk for a year.
It's like the opposite of a bursary, then. You're just taking down people's careers.
You're like a feeder, but for steampunks. You're a voyeur.
I'm a voyeur for the steampunk world.
Through some kind of mechanical telescope?
Yeah, it's like half telescope, half piston. The number of black eyes it's given me, I can tell you that. The amount of baby bells I have to put on my face after using that telescope, my piston telescope.
Yeah, you're not just putting it on your eye, though, are you, you sick bastard? We know where that piston telescope goes after dark.
Presumably there must be a roaring trade in the kind of steampunk sex world. But would you want a steam powered, you know, sex device?
Steampunk sex world sounds like the title of one of our podcasts, to be fair.
Well, I think steampunk sex world.
I think the steam powered
piston.
The steam powered dildo in William Burroughs' Naked Lunch, the novel The Naked Lunch. There's a steam powered dildo in it called Steely Dan, and that's where the band get their name from. Just to remember the connection there. But yeah, so at least
in Barbarella, isn't there?
A bit more futuristic, isn't it, Barbara?
Yeah.
I think it's nothing to do with the piston action of it. It's more to do with the amount of steam. I don't want that much steam in my, you know, steam near your genitals.
Steampunk sex worlds. It sounds like it could be an area of like an after hours Disney World.
Yes. Yeah.
If there was an adult theme park. Is there an adult theme park?
That's a good question.
As in, adult themes? Do you mean?
Yeah, or like a sexy theme park, where it's like instead of the log flume, it's like the
penis flume
or something. I don't know.
Fucking flume.
It's like an after hours. Like,
gonna go on the fucking flume, and then ride on the old bollocking teacups, and then have a go on the old chuffing Big Dipper, wouldn't I?
I don't know. Yeah, like
it's an adult theme park.
You'd have like a log flume that's based around anal sex, and it'd be like, we're going up the wrong end, and then and it'd be like
the log jumping
the log's going back up. I think that's a whole other sexual practice, Tom.
Well, you know what I mean though. It's like it's all there's like a water sports
space
one where it's like a water slide, but it's all coloured like piss, and it's like off you go, and
you get to like a scatological theme park.
Yeah. It's like a sexy theme park, you know what I mean?
Sexy and thing like, is like a turd going up someone's arsehole and being covered in piss.
All the sexy stuff.
All the sex stuff is covered already.
You know all the stuff that gets you right where it's pure. It's got two
and
rides.
A piston.
A piston.
And then a you piston. Can stick your knob in a piston.
A piston piston, yeah. Pissed on him, pissed on air.
I think if you put that in the right place, it would be really
that's the slogan of the park, isn't it?
we know which place you're thinking of.
Like, you don't want to put it in like fucking Norfolk. I'm thinking like in Marbella or somewhere like that. Like off you go, and there's like, you know, there's rude selfies. So, like, you know when you come off and you buy, like,
rude
a...
selfies? Every one of your ideas is so funny. I don't know why. Every one of your ideas is sort of... is, like, equal parts, like, delightful and just pathetic. What's the rude selfie? I really want to hear it.
You know, like, when you get off the ride and you buy those photos of yourself?
Yeah, crucially, like that, they're not selfies.
It's like there's loads of dicks around everyone's face, and it's like you like, so just start the big drop, and everyone goes, everyone opens their mouth,
and then there's like, just looks like you're rimming a big dash of big
like receiving a load of piss. Yeah.
Like I bet there's money to be made there.
Yeah, we never saw Tom again. That was the last time we ever saw him. He'd opened the world's first adult theme park in Exeter.
Crosby made his last-ditch attempt to try and save him and send him into the course of steampunk, but he...
Please become a steampunk.
Forced him the opposite direction.
House meeting.
For what belief would you take a beating?
House meeting.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, it does need to be in the right place. I can't see it working in the British Isles, but it is for Brits, very much Brits abroad.
Yeah. It's true. Britain is, it's not a sexy place, is it?
I know, things like, you've got to be this hard to ride this ride.
What? And then
a little gauge. Yeah, everyone would love that. Like pictures and stuff.
How does it work? What is it, like by the angle, or do you have to put it into some sort of device? And
it's a bit of fun more than anything.
You put your crotch next to something and it'll kind of go like, whoop, regardless of what's going on. It'd be like,
whoop. Test your strength, your cock strength, and it's like, test your fanny power.
Yeah, you'd have like those punch machines, but it's like you have to do it like
with a pelvic thrust.
A pelvic thrust.
Yeah,
I mean it hurts bad enough hitting it with your fist.
Oh, I've never hit it with my fist.
Although hit it with your fist is another one of my rides. Upsettingly.
What are you calling it, Barry? What are you going to call your park?
Alton Shaggers. I don't know. Something like that.
Oh, my God. Specifically nowhere near the UK as well.
Norks Park. I don't know. I'm thinking like Drayton Manor Park and fuck. The big three. Are they the big three in this country? I guess there's Chessington World of...
I'd say Chessington's pretty
like Noshington
shagging.
World of Adventure or something.
Wow.
It's called Noshington World of Adventures. Are people going to think you serve food rather than assume that you get a gob job on entry?
Well, it, like, obviously the food would also be, you know...
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, lots of, like, cream-filled treats. Yeah,
like donuts that you have to stick your face in and hot dogs that you can gob off and...
Wait, donuts that you have to stick your face in?
Like, not like the normal hot dogs that you can't gob off, by the way.
Are you imagining a donut you've got to stick your face in, like those things that make an imprint of your face? Those things made out of pins?
What a hellraiser.
Yeah, well, yeah, like that. But you know those sort of those executive toys that you put your hand on it or put your face on it or whatever. So yeah, so you've got to stick your face in this donut. What's sexy about that?
it'd be like going down on a donut is what
you'd have to do. What? Like, so it's not the actual food's not dirty, just that they get supervised in the way you eat it.
Well, it'll be shaped appropriately as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get your face in there to get the cream and the gross stuff like that. Look, this isn't my It's not my ideal day out. But I am tailoring for a certain crowd. We all know they're out there. The 18 to 30 shagging crowd. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think there's any 18-year-olds you'd want to.
No, but that is where it's set, isn't it? You're absolutely right. I think it's actually we're dealing with more of the 27 to 45 grubbers.
I'd say we start at 45. I don't know what these 27-year-olds are doing coming along to this. We're starting in our mid-40s and you're taking it up to death, basically.
I don't want it to be that. I want it to be like, it's basically like...
I don't want it to be us. I want it to be people 15 years younger than us.
Yeah, no, it's like Love Island-y, Wayne Lineker. It's that crowd.
Yeah, I see that. If it's in Ibiza, that's definitely... Because it is like the poolside game.
Exactly. And like, when I was at Ocean Beach, I felt old. Yeah. I want to feel old at this place. I want it to be like lots of like
he's going.
You know, lots of horny lad and ladettes, and there could be like some kind of hotels where it's like you can flirt and have a bunk up. I don't want it to get brothely. It's a theme park chiefly. But you know,
loads of signs up all around, just going, we cannot stress this enough, this is not a brothel. Guys, please,
please, please, when you buy this room for half an hour at a time, I want you to be sleeping, okay?
When you buy it to shag a steampunk, just know that you're both getting something out of this.
Crosby, if you set up a steampunk stall in my theme park,
I'd like to co-run the hotel, and the hotel is a steampunk brothel.
By the sounds of things, those goggles come in really handy. I've got a bone to pick with steampunk.
Okay,
I get the steam. I'm not sure that they're earning punk in any way, shape, or form.
As in, they don't look like.
What's punk about it?
Well, I guess it's because it started, like, you know, it's not, they're not people who look like they come from the world of the sort of, you know, the Industrial Revolution or that kind of era, the era of steam. They look like sort of a modern kind of rocky version of that, right? There's a rock counterculture aspect to the clothing. I think if you dressed exactly like, you know, if you just had a stovepipe hat and big, you know, sideburns and a waistcoat and like sort of baggy tweed trousers, you wouldn't be considered a steampunk. You'd be
considered Kenneth Branagh at the Olympics.
Exactly. You'd be Kenneth Branagh at the opening ceremony. Yeah, that's what you'd be. And I don't think at any point did people go, oh, it's nice of Kenneth Branagh to show up and do a steampunk display. We knew what he was doing.
We kind of knew what he was doing.
We sort of knew what he was doing, yeah. He was sort of moving his arms around a bit.
Oh, I suppose Sex Pistons.
The Sex Pistons. It's not a bad name for a steampunk band.
There you go.
They can play the opening night of my hotel.
Oh, it's a hotel now. He's upgraded it from a stall.
The hotel within Tom's theme park is a steampunk hotel.
Look, I'm leasing out the steampunk hotel to Crosby.
Yeah.
Happy to do that. Clarkie, have you got a, you know, little sordid peccadillo you want to kind of set up?
I want to be selling lightweight, airy trousers.
Old man, take a look at my life. You're not. It's not for you. We're talking about lycra clads.
It might be good for your boners and all of that.
You're selling linen trousers.
Loose boner trousers.
Boner trousers, and also, you know, if you get drenched in the log jamming flume.
Yeah, if you get drenched in the piss, they go see through.
It's a treat for everyone.
Clarkie, just to try and solve your problem, just to go back to your problem. So, how far into kind of holiday mode? Because you're off, you know, as people listen to this, you'll already be on your holes. You're off to Australia. You're going away for a month. How into holiday mode are you prepared to go? Would you be prepared to go and get, for example, like a pair of like Thai fisherman's trousers?
No,
you wouldn't go into that and just go like, well, no. I'm just going to wear these on my holidays because I'm on my holidays and I don't know anybody. I don't really care. I want to be comfortable.
I'd like a midway point of comfort is an imperative, I think.
Of course, it has to be. It has to be.
The older I get, the more important that becomes when it comes to clothes.
I totally understand that. Absolutely.
But I haven't completely given up.
Well,
I bought a pair of white linen trousers for my holiday.
Yeah.
There we go.
I mean, I hate to be...
Send me a link.
Dude, just go to Marks and Spencer's. That's my advice for you. I was thinking about giving that advice off mic, but let's not hide what we are. Go to Marks and Spencer's. Spend about 100 quid and you'll have all the clothes you need for that holiday. They've got elasticated waists. They've got lovely linen. They've got stretch material. It's the absolute boy. hats that make you feel distinguished and not silly, even though you do look a bit silly.
But crucially, you don't feel silly. It doesn't matter what you, how you look. It's how you feel.
Like, loud shirts, but not too loud.
Yeah.
Oh, my good God. And just embrace the fact that we're Marks and Spencers now. That's the age we're at.
I think that's it. It's basically me trying to... It's me resisting that, and I should give over to it, shouldn't I, really?
Your days of Topshop are gone.
I'm in the quicksand. The more I struggle, the faster I sink.
Surely you're just going to be in shorts, right? You're going to shorts it in Australia.
I will, but I'll tell you another thing. The fashionable short at this moment is quite a tight... Like they're quite warm. They're a bit too close to your legs and all of that.
Get yourself a nice pair of Bermuda shorts. You know,
you'll be.
I think the key word there is fashionable. Stop trying to get the fashionable item of clothing. You're on your holidays. It doesn't matter. You've got to relax.
And also, there is nothing more attractive to people than someone who's comfortable. You know what I mean?
If you've ever seen Parry in an armchair, you'll know that's true.
if you're operating on a level of comfort, then you'll be hitting the target of everything else. You know what I mean? You're not worrying about this. You've got bigger fish to fry. You're doling out all your material.
Yeah.
People are laughing.
Yeah.
You know. Adult bell.
Do your adult bell.
Because you're not thinking about anything else. You're comfy. You're just...
It's true. You know. Maybe this is what's been holding me back.
Clarky, I've got another word, which I've adopted this on many a holiday, and I enjoy it very much.
Please.
Sarong.
Do you sarong?
Look sarong, feel so right. That's what I always say. It looks fantastic.
Do you sarong, Crosby?
Yeah. I feel great. I absolutely...
Well.
Sure,
that's an interesting sarong. As well.
A sarong down the beach, absolutely. You got.
What are you wearing underneath it?
Listen, dude, I never tell.
You don't have to ask.
Just wait for the sea breeze to
a gentleman never tells.
Just wait for the Lord Mayor to come and pull a tiny string and declare this.
What are you doing with those joint scissors, mate?
This beach is now closed to anyone under the age of 15.
I declare this man arrested.
Let's slap a plaque on that.
I love the sarong. You know, small little pair of shorts underneath, like a little pair of swimming shorts underneath, perhaps. But you know, depends on how thick the material is.
Was Beckham your first interaction with a sarong?
Yeah, I sold him a sarong. You know that. we were both on holiday in St. Bart's at the same time. He said, "What's that piece of cloth you got round you?" I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, David, there you go. You can have it." And for the rest of the day, it was a private beach. But yeah, I think Beckham certainly popularised the sarong, didn't he? He certainly brought the sarong to the masses. He made it acceptable. You know, big step. Big step. You know, people talk about Harry Styles appearing on the front cover of Vogue in a dress. Don't forget Beckham and his sarong. I think it was an important moment. I loved the sarong. I've not worn a sarong in ages, but then, you know, it hasn't been... I don't know why I didn't go sarong over the heat wave. That's when I could have...
So, hang on, you bring them back off holiday?
What do you mean? I don't just... What do you think I should do? Should we have them buried at sea on the way home? What do you mean you bring them back off holiday? I take them to holiday. I wear them on holiday. I bring them back. Yeah. I launder them.
I feel like hats and certain sunglasses, and there are certain things that just belong to a holiday.
What?
I feel like...
No, I get that. I definitely get that. I think as well, hats especially, because I'll often, on an early part of the holiday, get myself... I've done this on a few holidays. Get the straw hat, you know.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Might even buy it before I go. Might even get a straw hat before I go and have the straw hat, you know, the what would you call it? Like a sort of little straw trilby type hat. And I would wear that. But, you know... Maybe you go in the sea, it gets a bit splashed, you're sweating every single day. It's basically, it stinks of old hay. by the end of by the end of the flight over there. But it stinks of old hay, and for some reason I used to bring them back and think, oh, why don't I ever wear this, and you put it on for 10 seconds and go, oh, that's the reason why.
Well,
it's
going to
be a new one every time.
The key moment is you wear it in this kind of holiday bubble.
Yes.
You think, God, this hat becomes me. This is great. I feel confident. People are enjoying it. You know what? When I get home, I should keep wearing this hat. And then you get off the plane and you get onto the tube and you think, oh no, I'm the cunt on the tube.
Yeah.
Then you can immediately feel the hat isn't the hat that it was on holiday. No.
Parry, this is so true. And the trip back to Gatwick Airport and going back to sort of East Croydon Station from Jamaica, when Charlie and I went to Jamaica, you've never seen so many people like immediately go, oh yeah, I'm in Croydon now, aren't I?
Yeah.
We're all wearing vests. Some of us have got cornrows, you know, like this is the mistake you make. You go, yep, this is it. Like,
yeah.
It felt right at the time.
Yeah. Stetson and cowboy boots. And I had it for like the whole week I was in Texas.
Of course.
I was like,
yeah.
This is great. This is it. This is a good look for me. And 20 minutes.
No, you on the way. You kept up cowboy boots for a bit. Stetson didn't make it, but you kept up cowboy boots.
I gave it a go. But it gets you. It's the equivalent of Sandra D to Danny in Greece. It's that exact moment. It's like your holiday hat sees you in front of all your friends and it's like, Danny, Sandy. And then Danny realizes, oh God, I can't be wearing you around them. Oh, that's cool, baby. And then he acts like a racket. What's he do? He goes racking and rolling and whatnot. Sandy, Daddy.
Do you still have the Stetson, though? Do you still have the Stetson that you occasionally take under the boardwalk and make out with?
It's on the Didn't it at the end, though, Tom, the Stetson to win you back dressed up as a
leather Stetson
with some a top hat with some goggles on? Did a sexy dance and something for you.
It turned steampunk for me. Oh my God, steampunk Greece.
It's the exact same movie, except at the end, she comes out to do as sexy Sandra D. She comes out to steampunk. That is.
Danny leaves. Hang on. Danny flies off on the car on his own.
Are the T-Birds steampunks? So, is it the exact same film? But when the pink ladies take her off to give her a makeover, they turn her into a steampunk as a cruel prank.
And she turns up and it backfires. Not as a cruel prank. As a great act of kindness. The kind of act of kindness I'm trying to do for you, Parry.
Grease Lightning's a train.
Are the T-Birds steampunks in this film?
No one else is a steampunk apart from Sandra D at the end.
Right at the end?
Yeah.
And Danny's reaction, I've got chills, they're multiplying.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, and she says, don't worry, I'll warm you up with some of this steam. Puffs him with a piston.
He says, because the power you're supplying, it's not electrifying, it's powered purely by steam. You better heat up, choo, 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 because I need some steam. Okay.
I'm happy with that.
I can see it.
That works. Well done, everyone.
I'm prepared to put your musical on in my theme park as long as you change the name to Greased Up My Arsehole.
Oh, no.
House meeting. What's the worst thing you've considered eating?
House meeting.
So, folks, there it was. House meeting. Good fun, and lovely to hear the voices of Tom and Ben rather than just me wittering away begging you for emails, which I did for I think about 7.5 minutes at the start. Right, what else can I tell you? There's still tickets available for our show on October the 9th. We're going to be at the Cheerful Earful Festival, a whole weekend dedicated to podcast. It's a podcast festival and we are performing. It's a really fun day, the day we're on. Angela Barnes's history podcast is happening at I think about 3:30, and then at 5 o'clock
We are doing a Flatshare Slam Down with special guests, the Birthday Girls. And then at 7 o'clock, we are leaping over to their room to guest on their podcast, Birthday Girls House Party. So we're going to have a brilliant time. It's going to be a tremendous amount of fun. They're our guests. We're their guests. Why not get tickets for all three shows? It's going to be a wonderful day. I know the Cheerful Liverpool Festival themselves want us to have a sort of a beef. Please email in for beef, by the way. They want us to have some sort of competition as to who's going to sell the most tickets, but it doesn't really matter either way. We'd love you know, we'd love big crowds for both shows. Obviously, it's all about having as many bumps on seats as possible, because that's the reason we do these. You know, the reason we do these shows is to get as many people who love the podcast to come and see us live as possible, because they're always fun. They're always fun recordings. We always have a nice time. Yeah, if you enjoy what we do, then get the Patreon. The Patreon is the Patreon goes from strength to strength. Actually, it's tremendous fun, and we have a great time over on the Patreon. It's Pappy's Flatshare on Patreon. If you search patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare, you'll find us all there. We do Flatshare Pop Round, which is a freewheeling chat for about 35-40 minutes every week, where we read your emails, we chat to you. We get plenty of emails to the Patreon, loads of emails to the Patreon, just not many of them beefs. We sort of have fun with each other. We have these amazing features that kind of spring up out of nowhere. And so you should really get on board with that. And again, if you're a fan of the podcast and you want to keep it going, it's a great way to support it, because we do these free the main feed. We want to keep it free. We want to maintain it as a free podcast. So the Patreon is our way of making that happen. So get over to the Patreon and join that. We're also going to do a couple of Flatshare Slam Downs in September. They're not yet on sale, but they will be very, very soon. So keep watching our Twitter for that. Get yourself over to our Facebook. Find us on Facebook. Like and subscribe to this podcast. And just generally have a wonderful time. We'll be back next week with a Beef Brothers cold cut, fingers crossed. But bear in mind, what day is it today? It's Tuesday when this is going out. We're recording it on Sunday. There's a very, very good chance we're going to be sitting down with our guest and talking about ways in which to firm up your investments and diversify your retirements by investing in precious metal. It's not going to be the most scintillating hour of podcasting, but it's all we've got so far. So send us some beefs, please. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be that involved. Just make it entertaining and we will do the rest. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful time. This episode was produced by Emma Corsham. Corsham team. We're doing it on my own. I should tell you, like, it's nearly 11 o'clock at night. I'm in my house. Everyone else in the house has gone to bed. And I'm just sat here in front of my computer talking to myself. I hope, against hope, that this has not come across as insane. But, you know, if it has, get in touch and write it by way of a beef. Beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Right, caution team, I've done that bit. Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Boom. I agree.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.